We're going to look at Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. And I think this morning, because it is a pretty long account of the salvation of Cornelius, rather than have you read and then I go right back and basically reread it again, unless you want to do that, if you want to hear it twice, that's fine. Never hurts. You want to read? Or should I just go through it? You tell me. This is your class. This is your Sunday school class, and I want you to be glad you came. So if you want to read, somebody tell me. No one wants to speak? Go ahead and go through. I think probably, I guess it helps to get more out of it, doesn't it? You guys read it, and then I just go back over. All right, so let's have somebody read verses 1 through 10. And then we'll go ahead and go through those verses, and then if we finish, we'll...
You do realize that's not what we said.
What? She said, oh, I go through it. I thought you said, let's go ahead. Oh, well, that's... How many of you think we should go ahead and you guys read it and then go back over it? I mean, it's fine with me. No one? You don't like read? I thought you guys loved it.
Yeah.
Huh? I know you well. I just want to find out if people want to do that. I don't want to bore people. I don't want people to say, why don't we read it and then you go back over it? So,
yeah. Read it, somebody.
Read it.
Yeah.
Let's just do it. How can you get too much of it? John, go ahead and read 1 through 10, okay?
There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God. He was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee that... what thou ought to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier to them that waited on him cordially. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. I got thin paper. I can't get a turn for it. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh into the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance.
Go ahead and read verse 12 is the actual end of that sentence. So go ahead and read through 12.
And saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descended to him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, there, wherein were all manners of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air.
All right. Thank you, John. All right. This is the conversion of Cornelius, and it's the continuation of the spread of the gospel. This is the spread of the gospel to the Gentiles, and it will get us through verse number 48, which is the end of the chapter. So this whole chapter, we find number one, Cornelius at Caesarea. Cornelius was a military man. He was a centurion of the Italian band, not a band that played music, but a band of soldiers, responsible for 100 men. Centurion, we get century from that, 100. There's two Caesareas in the Bible. One is Caesarea Philippi, which is located at the base of Mount Hermon. And then there's a Caesarea on the Mediterranean coastline It was the capital of the Roman province of Judea, built by Herod the Great. Also had a man-made harbor. It was a Greek-Roman city. The streets were lined with columns, theaters, pagan temples, Greek and Roman gods. And because of all of that, the Jews hated it, hated this Caesarea. It was the seat of the Roman government. Procurators Felix and Festus lived there. You know, Paul later, toward the end of his time in Rome, he was in prison, of course, ultimately beheaded. Pilate lived in Caesarea. And so it was quite a famous place. Again, one Jews hated. Since Cornelius was a soldier and officer of a foreign army, he was also hated by the Jews. But it turns out he was a devout man. He was a religious man, but he wasn't a saved man. And what is good is it reminds us that we can be, as far as people are concerned, good. We'll be good people, moral people. Someone stands out in the community, maybe even recognized as a leader in the community, a good family man or a good family woman, whatever, and still be lost. Because the human heart is still separated from God. There's still sin. We have a sin nature. Somebody has to do something about that, and we can't. Only God can, and he did through Christ, if we acknowledge our need, repent of our sin, receive Christ as Savior and Lord, washed in the blood, and we're made one with Christ, and we are born again. So this man was devout, and he was a humble man. He was a good man. He was a proselyte of the gate. He was uncircumcised. If you're a proselyte of righteousness, you would be a full proselyte. But he could only worship in the court of the Gentiles. He could not go through what was called the beautiful gate. And so, though he was a good man, a devout man, he gave money to the poor, did all kinds of good things, he was lost. And so God sent Peter there. Cornelius had an angel appear, and Peter was waiting for supper. He was pretty hungry. He's up on top of the house, and he fell into a trance. And he had what is called the great sheet vision that was telling him the gospel is going to spread beyond the Jews. Remember what I told you back not when I was with you, and also what the Lord told him in Acts and told them in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, that the gospel would spread around the world. And the Lord did tell him toward the end of his, after he was resurrected, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And so that's what we're seeing, the gospel, the tentacles of the gospel, spreading, 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 spreading. And we'll also see in chapter 10 that the Holy Spirit that the Jews had received, the Holy Spirit that the Samaritans had received, the Gentiles also, going out in the uttermost part of the earth, will receive the same Holy Spirit. And so we see the church continuing to grow. All right, so he, as verse 2 says, devout man, he feared God. So a Gentile or a lost person that feared God in the way that he did was one, in his case, who had abandoned pagan religion to worship God. So I was a lost Lutheran. And I was raised in that church. And learned some things about God. And as I've told you many times, I had a respect for God. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I had a respect for the man of God, the church. And yet I was lost. I'd never been born again. Didn't know how to. I just knew about Jesus. Didn't know what to do with him. So I'd be kind of in this group. I had faith, but it wasn't saving faith. And so and I was young then, but eventually I was confirmed as a teenager, probably 14 years old, became an automatic member of the church, went to church until I left for the military, and then other than a couple of times during basic training, that was the end of my church until I got saved almost 5 years later, or over five, about 5.5 years later I got saved. All right, so he gave much alms to the people. He was very generous with his money. And he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. Basically, he followed the light that he had. What he knew, he believed, and he followed. He obviously wasn't a student of the Old Testament, because Christ is there, Messiah is there. But he was a man that desired to do right, and he gave, he was generous, and he prayed. And so since he had followed the light that he had, God was going to send Peter to make sure he got what he needed so that he could be saved. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, that'd be 3 p.m. About the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God, or a remembrance, a fragrant offering coming up to God. Even though at this point he wasn't saved. But our God, a God of mercy and grace, knew that he was doing all he knew to do. It's all he could do. So God was drawing him to himself. Remember, none of us come to Christ unless God draw us, tug at our heartstrings. Because we're not going to repent until we see ourselves as sinners. And until God reveals that to us, we're going to continue on doing our own thing.
This angel was like Christ?
No. Pre-incarnation Christ? No, because Christ is resurrected. He's with the Father. This is just an angel. Yeah. Just an angel. Mm-hmm. Right.
Old Testament says angel would be Jesus.
Not always. It has to say the angel of the Lord. Yeah, the angel of the Lord. It was often a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. But there were still many angels that would appear, like to Daniel. They weren't all Christ, of course. Just one, the angel of the Lord. And now send to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And that would be Caesarea, okay? That's where he was. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. And so this religious but unsaved man, a man of strength and power, remember at this point Rome had conquered the civilized world because they were a family culture, a family people. But you know what the downfall of Rome was? It began with the disintegration of the family. Sound familiar? And also homosexuality. Abortion. Abortion is not new to the United States or even the world in the 20th, 21st century. So the same things that we as a civilization struggle with and are caving in more and more, and our nation is imploding. All you had to do, and I couldn't stomach it, I maybe 10 seconds, all you had to do was watch the Democrat debates to see how far from God our nation has gone.
This is their leaders.
Yes. Look what Schumer did this past week in naming by name, threatening by name two Supreme Court justices. And do you know what he was talking about? The decision they're going to make regarding whether a baby that is aborted but ends up alive outside of the womb, whether that baby should be treated or not. And he was speaking to a pro-abortion rally and lost control, really. He needs to go. He should be gone already. The Republican, he'd been gone. How many of you remember Trent Lott? He made some kind of not the best comment regarding when the 100th birthday celebration, what was that senator down in South Carolina? Strom Thurmond. And made so, a little bit off color, but not anything. I mean, come on. And he was out. He's vanished off the face of the earth, hadn't he? But yet, anyway, the whole point is to remind us how serious the situation is in our nation. We're going down the path of the Roman Empire. Same thing. Well, he gave money, he went to worship, he gave to the poor, he prayed always, and still was lost. So the Christian faith presupposes that all are lost until we find out that someone is not. Not talking about brothers and sisters in the church, talking about outside. We go outside the walls of this church, and we kind of assume people, because most are lost, so we assume they're lost until we talk to them and find out, no, they do know the Lord. The Lord made a way for his salvation because he responded to the light, talking about Cornelius, responded to the light he had. In Jeremiah 29, verse 13, the Bible says, "And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all of your heart." But yet the New Testament, Paul wrote, that there is none that seek after God. So what that tells me, in order for us to even begin to seek God, God has to be doing a work in our hearts. He has to be, as I mentioned earlier, drawing us to himself. And then if we follow the prompting of the Spirit of God and we seek God, God will reveal himself more and more and more, and eventually we come to saving faith. Now, God then gives here in Acts chapter 10 a vision to Peter, and you could call this vision a vision of inclusive fellowship. A vision of inclusive fellowship. On the morrow, verse 9, they went on their journey, they drew nigh unto the city. Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, so it's noon. Many Jewish homes had flat roofs, or as they say up north, roofs. And so he was up there, and he's waiting. He was very hungry. Verse 10, he would have eaten, but while they made ready, so supper wasn't done, or lunch wasn't done yet. And so he went up there, and God had him fall into a trance, and he saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet, knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth. So it's kind of lowered down. And on that sheet were all manner of four-footed beasts, which would mean those things that were clean to the Jew and those things that were unclean. There were hoofed animals and all the unclean animals. There were some great big fattened hogs ready to butcher and eat. And Peter could smell that pork. And there were creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And I bet Peter turns white as that sheet. But we see immediately as we go a little bit further, dietary restrictions ended with the new covenant and the church. So in other words, our brothers and sisters, some of them are, some aren't, that say you can't eat pork today, there are no dietary restrictions for the child of God other than drinking blood. Acts chapter 15, we'll see that. When they get together and say, "Now wait a minute, now we've got Gentiles in the church, we've got Jews, and there's a lot of confusion. What are we supposed to do? What don't we do?" And we read clearly what is expected of a New Testament Christian at the Council of Jerusalem. And we'll wait till we get there to talk about it. Peter said, "Not so, Lord." Peter was still Peter, wasn't he? I mean, he had changed a ton. The Lord continues, though, to do a work like he does in us. We don't get saved and changed totally overnight, do we? We are becoming new creations, aren't we? Like the bumper sticker, God's not finished with me yet. I forget how the first part went. There you go. Thank you. I'm not perfect. God's not finished with me yet. Not so, Lord. I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. I have denied you three times. But anyway, that's beside the point. But I have not ever eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed. Now, obviously, he's got the lesson he's trying to teach Peter is, now look, I know that Jews generally think of Gentiles as dogs, and they're nasty and they're unredeemable, but let me tell you something. When I get a hold of their hearts, they're going to be cleansed and they're going to be made whole in Christ just like you are. So don't you call them common, and don't you be prejudiced against them, and don't you push them in the back of the church. Yes.
The word in Hebrew is glam. So if you ever have meet a fellow Jew, a Jew, and he calls you glam, it's not a nice thing. Glam is dog.
So I should punch him in the face? In Jesus' name. Or start barking. That'd freak him out, wouldn't it? Yeah. Well, the Jews, of course, were concerned about clean and unclean animals. The Gentile, which in this particular lesson, the clean animals on the sheet were the Jews. The unclean animals were the Gentiles. And because of Christ and his shed blood, all barriers. Paul spent some time in this, especially in Ephesians, about that middle wall of partition that was broken down. So here we are in the church, whether black, white, male, female, from America or some other country, rich, poor, it doesn't matter. All the barriers are broken down. And there should be no prejudice in the church of any kind whatsoever. Now, obviously, we're not talking about, I had somebody ask me recently, I can't remember who it was or how we got on the conversation, about what I would do if homosexuals came in. Of course, I'd have to know they were, okay? What would I do? Nothing. I would preach.
Amen.
And pray. Now, they couldn't join the church if they were active in that lifestyle, but I would never, ever turn someone away unless they were, you know, disruptive or whatever, anybody. I mean, if somebody jumped up and started throwing chairs, I'd nod my head to Brother Scott back there. Probably wouldn't have to nod. He would be up before I had a chance to nod. But we'd have to take care of it. But we just cannot be respecters of persons. The Lord isn't, and he's taught us not to be. That's what's amazing about how many years the church was so prejudiced against blacks. How is it possible in the church if you read the Bible? Right? Real, think about it. How did it ever get as bad as it got in the church? But it did. Yes, sir.
Which is funny because the Ethiopian, Philip, he was black.
Absolutely. And Moses had a black wife. Did you know that? All right, so the voice spake again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done three times. Isn't that interesting? How many times did Peter deny Christ? And so, Peter, I want you to learn this lesson and learn it well. Remember in last part of John when the Lord appeared, they had a fish fry, and he asked Peter three times, do you love me? Of course, the Lord knew he did, but he wanted Peter to think about it before he said it, before he answered him. And then the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision, I came up with a compromise, by the way. I'm going to have you read the first chunk, and then we're just going to move on. So that's called a compromise. Okay? This was done thrice. Vessel was received back up. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. Perfect timing. That's God's timing. Just in time. And called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. And while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, get thee down. Go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. And Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Now, self-respecting Jews did not invite Jews into their homes, especially hated Romans. But he called them in and lodged them. And then Peter went away with them, and certain men from Joppa accompanied them. And on the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, he had called together his kinsmen. He said, you know what, we're going to have a little meeting here. I want everybody to hear it. For years, we used to show the Burning Hell film. Geo Grooms had this old little, it looked like a suitcase, and it had, you could put, I don't know if it was a beta or what it was. It wasn't VHS. It was sort of like that. And we'd go into homes. And you'd be surprised. We'd prearrange it. And you'd be surprised how many times people would bring neighbors. You expect to see just a couple, and there's 10 or 12 people in there watching this. And so he was concerned about their spiritual well-being as well. And he knew who Peter was, so he called the family together and other near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Oops. See, he didn't quite have full knowledge, did he? And obviously he had deep respect for Peter. He took him up saying, stand up. I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, you know how that it is unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. So he said, there is a new standard. There is a new standard. Therefore I came out unto you without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore, what intent have you sent for me? And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting till this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, one who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. And this is a good stopping point because we'll never get finished. So we will continue on, Lord willing, next week.